Shalom Aleichem, a good Chodesh to everybody, and a good Erev Shabbos. Your Shabbos should be blessed, unbelievably blessed. Now this week's Parshas Todos, we attempt to understand and to really delve into the character of who Yitzchak Avinu was. We're faced with what seems to be an insurmountable wall, not just because of our own limitations, to grasp his Kedusha, his spiritual greatness, which of course goes along with the other Avos as well, but also because the Torah doesn't give any details to work with. Yitzchak's life seemingly jumps from the Akedah to his marriage, to an episode with Avimelech, then his impending death and his desire to give on a bracha, the bracha of Avram, to his kids. This pales in comparison to the details the Torah records to Avram Avinu, and of course is doubled by the episodes of Yaakov, I apologize. And yet when we look deeper into the Torah, we can only parse out a little bit, but with that little bit, we can really see a grander picture, into the grand window of who the essence of Yitzchak Avinu was. The parsha tells us, "Ve'ela told us Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram hoilid es Yitzchak." The Torah, rather than delineate Yitzchak's children, instead points out that Yitzchak was born to Avram. So usually, the word told us in biblical Hebrew can have a dual meaning, and the context in which it's used often presents a challenge to the different mefarshim, the different commentators, to explain its usage. Literally, told us means the progeny, our children. Thus, if used accordingly, the next logical line would be a list of the descendants of this person. And yet we've also seen that the word told us is also used in other forms to convey a message regarding the person or to tell his history. Like we see in Parshas Noach, Eilu told us Noach, Ish, Tzadik, Tam, Noach, Derosav, because the Torah was making a statement about who, about his essence. So told us can go both ways. So I'd like to suggest here that when the Torah is using the terminology and the word told us, it's not just connecting to his lineage, it's also saying something very, very important about the essence of who Yitzchak Avinu was. The Torah is telling us that the very definition of who Yitzchak Avinu was he was a Ben Avram. He was a son of Avram Avinu. He viewed himself in this capacity as a torchbearer of Avram's legacy. And once we establish this theme, it becomes much more evident that this was the very mission statement of who Yitzchak was and what he lived for. We see this later in the parasha when a famine of course, comes to the land of Israel. Right? Don't go down to Mitzrayim. Shekin ba'aretz hasher amar elecha. Shachin ba'aretz hasher amar elecha. So why does Hashem deem it necessary to tell him not to go down? So again, a famine comes to the land. Yitzchak intended to go down to Mitzrayim, and now he can't go. Does the Torah not mention anything about him intending to go? Instead, it tells about how there's a famine, and then all of a sudden Hashem comes to him and says, "Oh, don't go down to Mitzrayim." But was there any point that the Torah says that Yitzchak intended to go down to Mitzrayim? That Yitzchak was planning on going down to Mitzrayim? It just Hashem comes out of the blue. The answer is why it's obvious, because Yitzchak was emulating his father, and just like Avram was going to go down, went down to Mitzrayim, to Egypt, so Yitzchak was of course intending to go. By definition, if the father did, he's going to do it too. Thus Hashem had to preempt him by explicitly prohibiting Yitzchak from going down. We see later on also in the parsha, Vayeshev Yitzchak, V'yachvar sa'be'er sa'mayim asher chafur b'yamei Avram, he redug the wells which had been dug in the time of his father, of which the plishtim ended up blocking, and he redug them again. And even, by the way, he even gives them the same names, Vayikar lam shemos k'shem asher kar lam aviv. He gave them the same exact names that Avram Avinu also gave them. So Yitzchak, again, is being the consummate son, imitating his father in all of his deeds. Yet with all this in mind, we have to ask a very fundamental question. Each of the Avos have their own unique qualities, and they infuse the world and the descendants going forward with each of those unique qualities and unique characteristics. It seems, however, that Yitzchak was almost a carbon copy of Avram Avinu, doing exactly as his father, to the extent that we didn't have to even be told that he even thought about it, because we already knew by definition he was going to cause it to him, because he's going to copy his father. And Hashem had to come along and tell him not to go down to Mitzrayim. So what ultimately is Yitzchak's unique quality here? What did he bring forth to the world? So we've discussed this in years past. It's worth pointing out again that the greatness of Avram Avinu was his strength in making drastic decisions which would impact him and his family for future generations to come. Why? In the pursuit of truth. Avram is the archetypal iconoclast. Fancy word. But the word literally, iconoclast, literally means, in Greek, the destroyer of images and religious worship, a destroyer of idols. This is what Avram Avinu was. He was the spitz, he was the classic iconoclast. Not scared to stand out, to be different. He was willing to go ahead and mamash destroy the whole world, if the world of Avodah Zarah. And he was willing to stand up to stand for that principle as well. Professor Gregory Burns, a neuroscientist and professor at Emory University, and the author of the book Iconoclast, a neuroscientist reveals how to think differently, explains that human behavior is largely dictated, if unchecked, by fear. Professor Burns explains that the ability for someone to be an iconoclast is to overcome those fears and actually to persevere and perform under amazing circumstances, under those difficult circumstances. That's what an iconoclast is. He's not deterred by fear. It's something inherent within that person. Yet being an iconoclast also is a double-edged sword. Inasmuch as a person can stand out and be different, it's then a challenge for the iconoclast to actually remain the same. You have this very often, people who like to be ahead of the trend or like to be different, they can be easily find themselves easily able to be different and stand out. But when it comes time for them to actually, the Yiddish word is to shteltzu, to then conform, they can't do that because that's what they do. They're programmed to be different. So when it comes time for it, when it's actually important to follow the rules, they can't do it as well. Because why? They have the midah. And because they don't have control and shlit over the midah. Therefore, even when it comes time, an important factor, an important period, they can't even bring themselves to conform. It's being a double-edged sword, this. It's a double-edged sword. For some, there's a pleasure in being different and standing out. And perhaps people want to get special attention out of it. They like being different. It feeds into feelings of uniqueness and even feelings of superiority that they're more knowledgeable or more elite than the mainstream. But upon reflection, there's no value unto itself to be different. And it's no point in being different, the shame just being different. But rather, the value is being willing to be different for the sake of the truth. Thus, if you have a person who's constantly going against the grain, not due to deeply thought out principles, but then it's just a knee-jerk reaction, right? Like you hear oftentimes, like, oh, you're telling me not to do it, now I really have to do it. Like, that's not a normal mature perspective. That's not a normal, true. Someone showed me a video once of like one of these real life or live streamers. I don't remember exactly. He was in a car and he's like picks up one of these emergency hammers that if God forbid someone's in an accident and you get out of the car, they can smash the window very easily. He picks up, he's like, what is it? He's like, oh, it's if you tap even the window very lightly, it'll smash the window. He's like, no, I don't believe that. Like, I'm telling you, don't do it, it's gonna smash the window. Like, you tell me not to do it? No, I gotta do it. It's like, that's so sad. And he goes, yo, chat, tell me, should I do it or not? Like, what are we about shalom? This person has no shlit on himself. No shlit them inside the fact that someone's telling him, don't do it, it's dumb. And he's telling me, oh, what do you mean? Now you're telling me to do it? Now I can't do it, now I gotta do it. And then he offsets and offshoots his opinions onto a group of people that are not him himself. I mean, he has never fully developed within himself a sense of capability to make a proper decision. Because why? A person's a dissident. And the truth is, if someone didn't know Avraham Avinu, you'd say, hey, he's just constantly going against the grain. He's one of these weirdo individuals. God forbid to speak about Avraham Avinu this way, but he's one of these people who has such an easy time to be different like everybody else. Maybe he was different because he just doesn't have this shlita of the midah. So therefore, he has that natural DNA of being a dissident. But who is to say that his future generations, his future children, would also not be the same? Maybe if your father has a certain renegade ability, then the kids also will have that same renegade ability. And they'll go. And by the way, sometimes those kids go against the parents. So how do I know that within the shlit of the midah of Avraham Avinu, you have the ability to be normal and to conform as well? Where do you see that? The answer is, you see it in Yitzchak Avinu. That is what Yitzchak Avinu brings to the table. Yitzchak was the son of the iconoclast, was being the consummate son, attempting to replicate his father in all his actions. But how did he do this? Not by being different, but rather by being the same, by sticking with the truth and the message that Avraham Avinu gifted to the world. This is the understanding, the depth of the understanding of who Yitzchak Avinu was. The fact that Yitzchak was sincere in his actions proves that Avram did not act out of a sake of just willing to be different, the shame being different. Rather, his choices were born out of a discovery of the truth. And it's that truth that memela by osmosis, naturally and organically, is what made him different. The challenge now is to continue to have that gvura, the strength that will stick to this truth. And this is what could even argue is the gvuras Yitzchak. To remain to the true message of Avraham Avinu and not to change for the sake of change, but change for the sake of truth. You should have a wonderful Shabbos, Kol Tov, all the best.